Okay, our reading this morning, our sermon text, comes from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. Before I begin the message of the morning, I want to thank you for those of you who sent cards to us concerning the loss of my brother. I appreciate that, and it meant a lot to us. Thank you very much for doing that. That we might be rich. We're going to do, as usual, a lot of jumping around. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. It says in the Word of God that we have what we have because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's so important that we never lose sight of that in our Christian walk. Christ left heaven's riches and everything that belonged to him as the Son of God so that we might become rich. Jesus didn't have to leave heaven. He chose to leave heaven. Before the foundations of the world, he chose to leave. As it says in that verse 9, for we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through his rich, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we might have so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time. Pray now, Lord, you bless your word as we look into it. Help me, Lord, to give what you have me to share. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. I always appreciate that chance to get up and to speak and to share what you've laid on my heart. I pray now, Lord, you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go any farther, part of this message is Dr. Charles Stanley. I have the devotional I do every day with him. And it was about 2 weeks ago, I told B, I never have a message until about Tuesday or Wednesday of the week I'm preaching, and I'm begging God, please. He gave me this one about 2 weeks ago, and unfortunately, with the way things went, I didn't have the time I wanted to prepare for it through the week. I got some uptime in, and I apologize for that if I come across as not having said what God would have me to say. But remember, Christ left heaven's riches and everything that belongs to him as God's Son, so that we might become rich. But what does it mean for believers that we would become rich? Back into Ephesians chapter 1, where Larry read the text. We're going to be using that as our stepping off place. Ephesians 1, 3 through 8 describes these riches in detail. Now understand, these are not the only riches that come from God. This is just a section where Paul wrote to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, and shared some of the blessings God had bestowed upon his life and the lives of all those who know Christ as Savior. Let's look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. One of the riches that Christ bestowed upon us through his heavenly Father is, first of all, we're chosen by God. We're not chosen by some church. We're not chosen by our family. But we are chosen by God for a life of purpose and eternal security. The Bible doctrine is sanctification. We're blameless before him. God sees us set apart, positionally sitting in the heavenlies as his child. And Jesus looks at our sin and says, "What sin? I paid for your sin." Now, I always give this as a point of reference. Don't think because that sin is paid for and forgotten by God that we can sin on and on. Romans says, Paul says, "Should I sin that grace may abound?" And he goes on to say, "God forbid that I should do that." Now, we are set apart by God. We are chosen by God to find our works in Christ. John chapter 14. And I'm turning there, and I don't know why, because it's one of the few scriptures I have memorized. "Let not your heart be troubled." And it'll be rough King James. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that you may come and be a part of me. And you know the way that I'm going, and you know where I'm going." And later on in that scripture, Jesus has the opportunity to share that verse that says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." This past week we heard some different details of how you get to heaven. I told my wife I was tempted to get up and say, "Okay, it's time to tell you the truth." But I bit my tongue a few times during that service. But that was what happens. But we are chosen by God for a life of purpose and eternal security. We are blameless before him. What sin? We are set apart by God. We are sanctified. And we are chosen by God through the finished work of Christ. We are chosen by God through the finished work of Christ. First thing of other riches. Second thing, verses 5 and 6, please. "He predestined us for the adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Secondly, we're liberated. We're liberated. Chosen by God and then liberated. We were slaves to sin and unable to free ourselves from its power. No matter how you try, no matter who you think you are, no matter what you possess, none of those things mean anything in the eyes of God. It's what you do with his Son, Jesus Christ, that makes a difference. And it's important that as we look at that and we say that it comes from God, Jesus broke the power of the flesh so that we might be able to obey and walk with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15, back a couple pages. 1 Corinthians 15. And starting with verse 55. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." But, that's a word in Scripture I love to see. "But, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's nothing you do. It's what you do with Jesus that makes the difference. We are liberated through the finished work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Next, verse 7. Back to Ephesians. Ephesians, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Thirdly, we are redeemed. The precious blood of Jesus satisfies all the requirements of God. As we, in our Sunday school class, we're going through the Old Testament, the first five books, all the things that they had to do to be found holy and clean in front of the eyes of God. I'm thankful I told the class that we don't have to do those things. Christ died once and died for us all. Romans, just as a way of, you can hold there, I'm going to go back and look at Romans chapter 6, familiar portion of Scripture. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we get for our wages, when we work, we get paid, and what we work for is our paycheck. And so with God, the wages for sin is death. We have been focused on going to hell because of what we've done with our bodies. Again, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I used to tell the kids at school, I use that a lot of times, go down Christmas morning under the tree, and the excitement there is with gifts. Pull out a gift, and it has your name on it, and you pull it out, and it says $3.95. Okay, so you put that one down and said, I'll have $3.95. And you pick up another gift, and it says $10.95 on it. And I asked the kids, I said, are those gifts? And they said, no, they're not gifts, because they're not free. And so what we deserve for our sin is to die and go to hell. But because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to go to God's heaven. When we decide to trust Christ, God considers our debt paid in full. When we ask Jesus to be our Savior, he takes a big, big red stamp and stamps it somewhere, and it says paid in full, never to be asked again about it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all means all. And that's all that all means. We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Verse 5. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. We are adopted into the family of God. And I'm not sure if any of you out here, I know Pastor James has a truckload of adopted kids. If you've ever seen, you know, on the back of the windshield of the car, you see those families, and there's like a mom and a dad and a couple of kids. Well, his goes like this. I said, good thing you have a big rear windshield, or you wouldn't have had enough room to put all the kids on and dogs and stuff. He goes, yep. And so it's a huge, you ever get a chance, look at the back of his car and see the huge adoption sign. Some of you may know exactly what it means to be adopted. As you are adopted and the court says you are a part of that family, all the rights and the privileges of that family now become yours. You are a child of that family. And in fact, they change your name. In a lot of cases, some do, some don't. But you can take on your parents' name. You know exactly what it means to be adopted. But God takes it a step farther. Not only are we adopted into his family, we are considered joint heirs of his kingdom. Not only do we know that we are part of that family, but now we are joint heirs. God looks at us as being a part of what he's doing. And the final one we want to look at this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. We are chosen, we are liberated, we are redeemed, we are adopted. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then no other prophet, no other person has raised from the dead and stayed alive like Jesus. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Kept in heaven for you. No one can take away from you what God has given to you. God can't do it. Jesus can't do it. And for those of you that struggle with the fact that you are saved and saved forever, you can't do it. If God can't do it, what gives you the idea that you can lose your salvation? I always share this with the kids at school. Again, I'm back to that. But John chapter 10, I've told you this illustration before, but I just want to remind you of it. John chapter 10, verse 28. I will go back to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your shepherd knows who you are. I don't know if he names you or not, like a shepherd may or may not do with his flock, but you are part of his flock. I give you eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one, underline it in your Bible, will snatch them out of my hand. So I give the illustration. I took a coin, put it in my hand, and I said, I asked one of the little kids, because I could get away with the little kids, come up and open up my fingers and take that coin out of my hand, and if you do, it's yours. So I picked the scrawniest looking kid. I figured I've got at least that much going with me. He'd come up, or she'd come up, and they start to learn a trick to take the baby finger. It doesn't have a lot of power to it. Take that sucker and try to rip it off. You're ready to give up that penny real quick, but I won't give that up. So anyway, we are in Jesus' hand. And the scripture says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So I had one of the bigger kids come up and said, okay, now take that coin out of my hand. And here I have the advantage because I've got both hands. Even if they get that one finger back, that's not going to do the trick. So I make an extra effort of digging that last finger in. I said, take the coin out of my hand. And a couple of them, you know, the big tough guys come up and try that, and they couldn't do it. Probably nowadays they could, but we won't get into that discussion. But we are in the hand of Jesus, who is in the Father's hand. So when you think you're struggling and you're having problems in your life that are less than you want to cope with, remember, you are in God's hands. We are citizens in heaven. No one can take away that from you, not God, and especially not you, as we said. Can't lose it. It's impossible to lose it. Now, I think with this group of people, it looks like most of you, if not all of you, have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I felt that this morning as I went over this again that if you have any questions about your salvation or what it is to be loved by God, and you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'd be glad to talk with you. And I know Larry and some of the other guys would be glad to share from the Word of God. I always share with my kids at school the ABCs of salvation. A, accept the finished work of Christ as payment for your sins. B, believe in Christ, God's Son, who rose from the dead. And then C, confess your sins and receive His forgiveness as payment in paid in full, stamped on you forever. Many of us don't consider ourselves rich because we think in earthly terms. That's our benchmark, what we have, what we don't have. These past couple of weeks, we started uncluttering our house. The garbage man is going to dread the day when he sees the next 3 weeks what we've been getting rid of. And a couple of the local places, Salvation Army, are going to be better off since we're getting rid of a lot of junk. It's stuff that we considered stuff that we had. And I'd like a quarter for every time my wife said, "Oh, I didn't know we had that. Oh, I forgot about that." You know, we had stuff and we're still 3 weeks away from getting out of here. And God has richly blessed us. So don't think your stuff that you have earthly is the final choice of where you are. But our wealth is found in the spiritual blessings we have been given through the finished work of Christ, God's Son, and the love that comes from His Father. We are chosen, we are liberated, we are redeemed, we are adopted, and forever, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a child of God. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As I said, I've always appreciated the opportunity to speak, and I kind of understand why the Lord gave me the message early on, but I don't want you to step from this world into eternity lost. It's so foolish an idea. I don't care how much you have or don't have. I don't care how much friends you have or don't have. What's important is what you do with Jesus Christ. Accepting Him as your Savior, realizing you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and accepting His finished work on the cross of Calvary is so important. Lord, I pray now that You would help us as individuals, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us. Thank You for the plan of salvation. Thank You, Lord, that many of the folks out there, their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God can look at it and say, "What's in?" Because He sees us positionally sitting in the heavenlies, sanctified, set apart. Now, Lord, help us to remember that. And Lord, help us not to take it for granted, and don't allow Satan to tell us that you're not good enough. You've done this or you've done that. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, help us to always remember that. And to remember, Lord, that when we have problems, when we have difficulties, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Thank You for what You do, what You are doing, and Lord, what You're going to do in this church. Bless our pastor as he comes next week. And he's ordained into the ministry of this church. Lord, we pray that You'd bless in that service too. Now, thank You, God, for this opportunity. Thank You for our church. Thank You for our friends and for those that, Lord, we know but aren't really friends, but we know them. I thank You for that. Bless now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.